The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Hey. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 30 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It's relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Him. If you're a good person, without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective. My aim is to teach you how to do this. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to talk about Where Will You Spend Eternity, Part 3. Overview. We're looking at what is required in order to qualify to sit in a high throne for eternity. We'll continue to look at a vital question. Do we know what sin is? What is the essence of judgment? We will then note a cause for concern. Nearly all of mankind is breaking most of the commandments. We'll then ask if there's an alternative. Can one aspire to a high throne? I will point out that it is not just heaven or the lake of fire. There is a continuum. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So this is based on the ebook 2024-0103, Where Will You Spend Eternity? With commentary on the final quest, the third edition, and this is part three. We're continuing to look at a vital question. Do we know what sin is? What is the essence of judgment? And we started by looking at the Ten Commandments. We noted that the first commandment was that Yah is one. We're to have no other mighty ones beside him or before him, which means that we should not worship Jesus or Yeshua. We looked at the second commandment, which said that we should have no idols. And I pointed out to you that Yah says that the Bible is the greatest idol on earth today because it keeps people from seeking a deep personal relationship with him. And then we looked at the third commandment, which is not to take the name of Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, in vain. And I pointed out to you that if you call him God or the Lord or Hashem or G_D, you're taking his name in vain. And if you have a yahoo.com email address, you're taking his name in vain. if you're in the habit of saying ja in Afrikaans for yes or jawohl in German, you're taking his name in vain. And then we talked about the high Sabbaths. So continuing, commandment 5, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yah, the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one, giveth thee. 6, thou shalt not kill. And an extension of that is that abortive contraceptives which work on the basis that once that they allow the sperm to reach the egg in the woman's fallopian tubes, and once fertilized, they prevent implantation of the fertilized egg in the womb of the woman. That's murder. Anything that kills from the moment of conception is murder. This stuff about abortion legal up to 14 weeks or X weeks or Y weeks or Z weeks, it's all murder, folks. You're going to burn in hell if you do it. Then number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Women have a seal of virginity. They're only permitted to engage with intercourse with one man. Thou shalt not steal, and that includes taking up tithes and offerings while you're preaching lies. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, no lying, no cheating, no deception. Thou shalt, and that's number 9, and number 10, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Goes for lusting, goes for lusting after cars you can't afford, houses you can't afford, etc., etc. And so we're in Exodus, and it continues, verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. So Moses is on the mountain, Mount Sinai, with Yah. And there's all this thundering, etc., going on. And verse 19, they said unto Moshe, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not Yah speak with us, lest we die. This is the only time in his recorded history that I know of where the Almighty has come down on a mountain in fire and spoken to a large group of human beings about his commandments. My understanding is that there were something like 2 or 3 million people in the valley below the mountain that had come out of Egypt. There are different estimates. And the sad thing is that since the people ask that it never happen again, it seems likely that it has never happened again. I have never come across any report of Yah again speaking out loud to a group of human beings with the commandments. There are a couple of occasions where in the life of Yeshua, he spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son, hear him. Or this is my beloved son, this is with whom I'm well pleased, hear him. The rest of the time, he's spoken through his spokesman. Spokeswomen, prophets, prophetesses. And then we say that Father didn't want to speak to us in this age. No, no, no. We said we didn't want him to speak to us. So he will only speak to those who make an effort to hear him. And furthermore, in Deuteronomy 10, verse 4, Moses states, and he, Yah, the eternally self-existing, wrote on the tablets, according to the first writing, the 10 commandments, which Yah, the eternally self-existing, spake unto you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly. Yah, the eternally self-existing, gave them to me. This is still Moshe speaking. The Almighty himself recorded the 10 commandments on the tables or tablets of stone. stone indicates that these commandments will never pass away. It is therefore clear that those commandments are the most important words the Almighty has spoken to mankind. It is the writer's clear understanding that they are a critical element of the judgment and a key element that will determine whether a person will spend eternity in heaven or elsewhere will be based on these Ten Commandments. There's a whole lot of other stuff, folks, about the Torah, and the Bible is the Word of God, and the 630 mitzvot, and so on and so forth. Those are all human embellishments. Yah is interested in your compliance and my compliance with the Ten Commandments. In Hebrew, they're referred to as the Ten Words. There are ten Hebrew words which sum up the Ten Commandments. That is the Word of God. The Word of Yah is the Ten Commandments. Not the Bible, not the Torah, not the whatever, not the Quran. The Ten Commandments written in stone are the words of Yah. Period. That's how you'll get judged. That's how you should be living your life, complying with the Ten Commandments. So then, cause for concern. Nearly all of mankind is breaking most of the commandments, and an extension of that is nearly all believers are breaking most of the commandments. In recent years, the writer, I have come to understand that most of mankind, including particularly the Christian church, and actually it turns out the Muslims and the Jews as well, is at an individual and corporate level breaking most of the commandments. Comment that that was written way back in 2003-2004. Commentary that I wrote in January 2024, just passed. I've subsequently come to understand that Yah is indifferent to unbelievers and is only concerned with the conduct of believers. See 2023-0408. The Almighty Creator Yah is indifferent to unbelievers on the website. So things have changed. 2,000 years ago, Yeshua was concerned about unbelievers. The emissaries, the apostles, went out to bring unbelievers into faith. It didn't work. Today, there's of the order of about 2 million believers left on the planet, people who have some modicum of relationship with the Creator. I'm not talking about people who prayed a prayer and have ignored him ever since. I'm talking about people who actually are actively doing something about the Almighty, whether it's with the Bible or Bible school or Bible church or whatever, whether they're Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Hindu, anything. There are less than 2 million people really actively, at some modest level, trying to do something. In particular, almost universal doctrines of the so-called Christian church regarding who Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, is considered to be, the way many view the Bible as the Word of God, the names applied to the Almighty, the Almighty, the Lord, God, etc., then Yeshua, Jesus, the day observed is a weekly Sabbath, should be Saturday, they observe Sunday, the major holidays and feasts, the way parents are treated, marriage and virginity, monogamy, are resulting in sins that are affecting an extremely large portion of the world population and an extremely large portion of the Christian, stroke Jewish, stroke Muslim, stroke whatever population, including most of the 2 million that I just spoke about. Furthermore, sins that are commonplace in Christian nations, like abortion, advertising that stimulates covetousness and lying, or is misleading or manipulative, jokes, which are lies, etc., is seriously compounding the sin of the world. Just recognize that just about all the reason why people laugh at jokes is because they feel uncomfortable because they are lies. I can't stress it enough, folks. Yeshua, Jesus, was a spokesman, a prophet, an emissary, a human being, still is. He's not Yah. He's not Yah in the flesh. It was the Spirit of Yah upon Yeshua that performed the miracles. This is compounded by the false doctrines of the vast majority of mankind. All of this adds up to a terrible litany of sin. Ultimately, every person will pay the price for what they've done and what they've believed on their day of their, on the day of their judgment, and what they've caused others to believe. Hence the terrible statistics in terms of the implications if judgment was to come on the world today. This is coupled with an enormous need for repentance, self-examination, and turning around in order to reverse these statistics. Matthew chapter 18, verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. That's true, but there's a catch. Almost the entire population of the planet does not believe Yah exists. Those that have some vague level of belief because they read the Bible and go to church or whatever, but still don't have any relationship with him, are also in huge error. They're not going to heaven. Hear me. On the 25th of December 2015, Yah said to me that there were 100 million, what he called believing unbelievers, on the planet at that point in time, that if judgment were to come then, 100 million people who thought that they were believers but were not believers because they did not have a relationship with him, they would not go to heaven. It's scary stuff, folks. Then is there an alternative? Can one aspire to a high throne? So I've spoken about sin. I've just spoken about people not making it into heaven at all. Psalm 111 verse 10 states, "The fear of Yah, the eternal self-existing, is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." So we can start by fearing Yah and seeking to do his commandments. 1 John 5:3. "This is the love of Yah, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." If we love the Almighty, then we should want to keep his commandments, and we should not find this grievous. If you call him God or the Lord, how do you have a relationship with him when you don't even know his name? How would you like it? To put that in context, I became aware of the wrong names late in 2000. After going on a series of fasts, somebody sent me an email and said, "His name is Yahweh." And I went to his father and I said, "Is this important?" He said, "James, how would you like it if your family called you by the name of your worst enemy?" The Lord is a translation of Baal, pagan, demonic God. God is based on the name of another demonic God. Mighty One. And you think you're going to go to heaven by calling him God and the Lord. I'm sorry to disappoint you. There was grace for this at one stage. It's long since been withdrawn in 2003. So if we love the Almighty, we should be willing to check out our doctrines and our conduct and make whatever adjustments are called for. If, are you willing to love the Almighty this intensely, even if it requires that you radically change what you believe and what you do? Consider Jude 1 verse 7 as a counterpoint. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Fornication includes spiritual treachery, idolatry, false doctrines, etc. Folks, this is heavy stuff. If you're a believer and in sin, where we've seen that sin fundamentally is breaking one or more of the Ten Commandments, each of those flows out into a whole lot of subcategories and detail and interpretation, etc. But fundamentally, if you're breaking one of the Ten Commandments and you're a believer, you're going to go to hell, where you're going to be tortured and tormented to pay the price of your unrepented sin. If you confess your sin and repent, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin. Yeshua died to provide an offering for sin. So if you go to Father Yah and you say, Father, I've done this or I've done that, and I recognize now that sin, I confess it, I repent, and I ask you to forgive me in the name of Yeshua, you will receive forgiveness. Take the bread and wine. And then there is a place of eternal fire, that is fire that will burn forever. There are two issues implicit in the above verse. The eternal fire of the lake of fire and brimstone, in which the unbelievers will be consumed in a moment of torment and terror in the event that Satan loses the contest, plus hell, in which the lake of fire and brimstone is located, which is the place of correction of believers who die with unrepented sin. The Quran is very much more explicit about the torment for those who do not believe, and that for those who unrepentantly transgress the commandments of the Almighty. There is a choice. See the article 2021-0605, The Essence of My Message Regarding the Commandments, on the website for a detailed discussion of the application of the commandments. Folks, the key thing here, and I'm belaboring the point, I'm sure, but it's so important. Yeshua died a terrible death to provide a new atoning sacrifice for sin, because the old sacrifice wasn't working. In the old days, on the covenant of Moshe, you had to bring a goat or a kid or a lamb or whatever, if you were poor, a dove. And the priest would slaughter that and offer it as a burnt offering, as an act of repentance of sin. By the time of Yeshua, the priesthood was illegitimate. The temple was destroyed when Babylon invaded about 560 BC, and the Ark of the Covenant was hidden away. A new covenant was required. There's a lot of nonsense about this as a renewed covenant or whatever. It's not. It's people are playing word games. It was a new covenant. There's an article on the website, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, which explains it all in detail. So it's not just heaven or the lake of fire. There is a continuum. As mentioned before, it's not simply a question of either heaven or the lake of fire or hell. There's a continuum between the outer darkness at the very fringes of heaven, where the unbelieving believers will weep and wail and gnash their teeth for eternity. And there are high thrones with Yeshua for those who overcome in this life. Now, the unbelieving believers are not the same as the believing unbelievers that I spoke about a minute ago. The believing unbelievers, about 100 million in December 2015, not going to heaven. The unbelieving believers who at some stage pray some little prayer and do nothing after that, so as they've ignored Yah, he will ignore them, put them in the outer darkness, weep and wail and gnash their teeth. Consider Matthew 8:11-12. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's a place of outer darkness for believers where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the teeth of those believers in the outer darkness. Notice that they shall come from the east and the west. So people will come from all over the world to heaven. And many of the people who regard themselves as believers won't make it. In December 2015, Yah said that if judgment were to come that time, there were about 20 million people who would go into the outer darkness. Consider also the parable of the foolish virgins in Matthew 25:10-13. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Adonai," incorrectly, "Lord, Adonai, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And again, we see here believers rejected on the basis of their conduct. Folks, there's a huge lie from the devil that it doesn't really matter what you do with your life, how you live your life. You're going to go to heaven anyway. On the contrary, if you want to go to heaven, the first thing you have to do is make a quality decision that the Creator exists and pray a prayer to ask Him to accept you and to commit your life to Him. Not a prayer about Jesus or to Jesus or for Jesus. Prayer to Yah, the eternally self-existing, the almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. And then you need to start cleaning up your life. There's an article on the website, 7 Components of Drawing Close, which is about a 70-page document on all the things that you can do to get close to Father and clean up your act. And if you do that energetically, over about 2 years, you'll get to a point where you can qualify for a high throne in heaven. If you do it energetically, and if you don't, you may never get there. Consider also Matthew 7:13-24. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Adonai, Adonai, shall enter in," this is Yeshua speaking, "shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Adonai, Adonai, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house on a rock." So that's the end of that passage of Matthew. The way to destruction is large, and the way to salvation is straight, constrained, tight, difficult. The gate is narrow. Those which do not bring forth good fruit are cast into the fire. In 1995, in a vision, Rick Joyner was taken up into heaven, into the judgment hall. And speaking to Yeshua, Yeshua said to him, "I left the 99 to go over the one after the one that was lost. Today, 99 out of 100 are lost." If the end were to come today, a minute number of the people on earth today would make it into heaven. If you are not personally actively seeking a relationship with Father, actively cleaning up your life, actively seeking to draw close to Father, you are going to get a terrible shock when you die. The sole reason we exist, the sole reason this planet exists, this solar system, this universe, is that Yah was lonely and he wanted friends. If you are not actively seeking to become his friend, or at the very least to become a loyal and good and faithful servant, you're not going to make it into heaven, my friend. I don't want you to think I'm being ugly. I'm just telling you the way it is. There's huge misunderstandings around this topic. So many will call on Yah, the eternally self-existing, and on Yeshua, and do many mighty works in the name of Yeshua, and yet the Almighty and Yeshua will declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You have to go back and say, well, you know, iniquity is lawlessness, failure to keep the commandments. So one can call on the name of Yah, or the Lord, or God, pray in the name of Yeshua or Jesus, and yet not keep the commandments in the day of judgment. One can be told, I never knew you, depart from me. That's scary stuff, folks. And we've seen that calling, that worshipping Yeshua breaks the first commandment, worshipping the Bible, or the Quran, or Moshe, or Muhammad breaks the second commandment. We've seen that calling the Creator the Lord or God, and calling Jesus, Yeshua Jesus, breaks the third commandment. So you think you're a believer in right standing with Yah, and you're breaking one or more of the top three commandments, and then you're worshipping on Sunday, and you're not honoring your parents, and you're using abortive contraceptives. How do you expect to have a place of standing in heaven? It's not going to happen. I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but it's not going to happen. You need to clean up your life dramatically and make a real effort to serve Yah. Such people may still qualify to enter heaven, but it'll be at a level in heaven that is commensurate with their service to the Almighty and the extent to which they've overcome sin, ranging all the way to the outer darkness, the location further from the throne. Much of this is discussed in The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, which I'm currently preparing commentary on. Look at the ETI Bible version web page on the website, the child pages. There's a broad continuum between those who truly please the Almighty and who sit on a high throne to those with whom he is greatly displeased, but who may exercise just sufficient faith to scrape into heaven. Yah refers to the outer darkness as the trash heap of heaven. He never visits the people there and then allowed into the body of the assembly in heaven. As they rejected him and ignored him during their lives, so he ignores them and rejects them for eternity. There's a huge deception of people who go out and evangelize people. And I can't comment really on how much of this occurs in Islam and Judaism, but it used to be rife in Christianity. So-called crusades, revivals, thousands or millions of people preached to, led to pray a simple prayer, generally in the name of Jesus, to Jesus. Jesus, come into my heart. And some of those people may have actually made a connection with Yah. And then they're left to their own devices, and that's it. It's almost better for a person to die as an unbeliever than to die as a believing, as an unbelieving believer. The outcome is too horrible to contemplate. There's a similar continuum amongst the ancestor spirits, the demons on earth, the spirits of humans who die not knowing the Almighty. See the webpage, Where Are You Going?, for a discussion of the different kingdoms in the satanic and demonic realm on earth, where there are currently over 100 billion human spirits. Further discussion of this aspect is not relevant. This document is directed at those who choose to speak eternity and spend eternity in heaven. The judgment and torment in hell is reserved for believers. Hell is where believers are punished for their unconfessed sins prior to entering heaven. See the webpage Hell. Satan and unbelievers will be cast into the lake of fire and utterly consumed at the end of the contest, should Yah win the contest. And right now, it is a harsh and brutal truth that Yah is losing the contest. The number of true believers on earth is going down day by day as the elderly die and the youth, for the most part, don't believe. Yah has said to me that within 100 years, there will hardly be any believers left on earth. There may not even be any believers left on earth. And in 200 years, in the absence of a body of believers who can do things differently, we will degenerate into the worst excesses of the Dark Ages. Thankfully, I won't be here at that stage. My goal is to turn that around. And I encourage you to join me in that objective. For an indication of the continuum in heaven, consider 1 Corinthians 3:12 to 15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This passage confirms that our works in this life, what we do, will be tried by fire, and that which endures the fire shall result in a reward. So it is possible to live life in some form of service to the Almighty, and yet to lose everything one has worked for on the day of judgment, and yet still be saved. Folks, there are two pieces here. The one is, if you're a believer and you are not actively doing something concrete to advance the kingdom of heaven, you are going to be not exactly warmly welcomed when you die. And the other side is, if you're doing things on earth, supposedly for Father, with wrong motives and wrong doctrines and wrong thinking, in error and sin, what you do will be destroyed and discarded, and you will get no reward for it. So be thoughtful. And then consider also Jude 1:23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Carnality, the flesh, is something that will be destroyed in the fire. The works of our own strength, our own intellect, our own comfort, our own will, etc. Those things that we do that the Almighty did not tell us to do will be destroyed in the fire, and we may be saved with nothing to show for our lives. Just a recap of what I've just said. So, I've talked today a lot about why you need to raise your game. We will talk in due course about High Thrones. We have already talked about High Thrones a bit. It is possible for you to become a friend of the Creator. That's what you were created for. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, fat or thin, tall or short, Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, African, Asian, Indian, American, European, Caucasian, whatever, witch, warlock. Father wants you to become his friend. And I encourage you right now to do something about that. So this is all for today. I'm just going to wrap up in the next couple of minutes. This will be continued next week. So I want to ask you right now, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him as your friend? He is friendly. He will be your friend if you ask him, if you make the effort. And have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? That's a step up, folks. It's one thing for him to be your friend. It's another thing for you to be his friend. It requires sacrifice. It requires effort. It requires determination. It requires hard work. It requires spiritual investment. It's available to you. It's attainable. I speak from experience. You can become his friend. If you don't, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. You could pray right now, Father, you are in the name of Yeshua. I desire to become your friend. I ask you to help me. I ask you to guide me. I ask you to show me what to read, what to do, who to speak to. I ask you to bring people across my path. I ask you to open doors and close doors as appropriate. And show me how to become your friend. Help me to do what I need to do to become your friend. Read the article, Seven Components of Drawing Close. Put that into practice. And I assure you, if you do that diligently, you will get to a point where you hear him clearly. And he will tell you that you are his friend. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org and email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. I'm on LinkedIn, James Robertson ETI. I'm on Facebook, James Robertson ETI. I'm on YouTube. And you've got my email address. I would be delighted to hear from you. If you decide to serve Father at the level that I'm encouraging you to serve him, seeking to become his friend, I assure you I will give you whatever support I can to get there. Please email me. I would love to hear from you. Please understand where I'm coming from on this. There's only one reason all of this exists. There's only one reason you exist. And that is to be a friend of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth whose name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. And if you don't do that, you are going to be so bitterly disappointed when you die. If you, this is your first time on this program, please stay behind. I've got a few bits of information I'd like to share with you. If you're a regular, thank you so much. Good night. So in closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. The ETI version of the Bible with corrections of key translation errors is available on the ETI Bible version page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far. Search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. There are about four podcast websites with the back issues. Books with teachings from 1998 to May 2019 at the compilation of most writings page on the website. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search all along the top of the website to locate the information you're looking for. Thank you so much for listening. I hope to see you again next week. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you, where will you spend eternity? And ask you if you know what is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne. And do you understand that if you don't do that, there is a continuum in heaven right down to the outer darkness, which is cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing of teeth, your teeth, if you're a nominal believer. And if you are not a believer at all, you're not going to make it into heaven. You're going to stay on earth as a demon, an ancestor spirit. Please listen to my broadcast on w4cy.com radio or talk4tv.com TV. Visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out. I look forward to meeting you. Thank you so much.